This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, we are back for more recap of Orange is the New Black, season 5, episode 11, Breaking the Fiberboard Ceiling, and episode 12, Tattoo You, right here on ABTV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
The animal. Trap, 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 till the cage is full. The cage is full, the day is new. And everyone's waiting on you. And you've got time.
Think of all the rows.
Okay.
I
beat Scott when it was just us two, and I was so mad no one thought.
I will say, I do that way better when I'm sitting right next to him. It's a little more motivation.
Yeah,
right.
Well, hey guys, thank you for joining us tonight for Orange is the New Black Season 5 episode and 11 and 12. We're getting close to the end, the penultimate episode. But before we get started, we actually have a full panel today.
Yay!
So,
yay. Nothing like that in the season.
By the time we get to the last couple episodes, but it's great to have a full house here tonight. I'm Scott Moore. You can find me on Twitter at SMAN80. That's SMAN80. And to my left, camera right, is...
Hey, guys. I'm Sterling Cates, and you can find me everywhere at Sterling Cates. And please tweet us during the show.
Yes. Yeah.
We have the live chat up and our Twitter, so
yes,
talk
and
to us.
And social media, you can find us with hashtag OITNBABTV.
Yeah, so I'm Leslie Correll, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LeslitaFace, just like it sounds, LeslitaFace.
Hey, y'all, I'm April Wissenhant, and y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant, and we do have the chat up, so let us know what y'all thought of the craziness.
Yeah, and speaking of overall thoughts, what did you guys think of 11 and 12 as a whole of... Good,
11,
bad.
Like, loved.
Yes.
Because it's, like, the beat down or the bring down, whatever you want to call it, that we've been waiting for the whole time of Piscatella. 12, I kept, could have done without some of it, but I still, like, the end of it was amazing in the end, but also, like, sad.
Yeah.
So lots of emotions for me over these two episodes, I guess.
I
two totally different.
Both episodes there, and I'm just like so excited to see what's next. I'm like, ah,
yeah.
And I don't know who to root for, and I don't know what's happening or what's gonna
right
go down, but it's intense.
I can't wait to go home probably after right after this and finally watch the finale. When I watched 12, I was like, no, this is so sad that I can't keep going. But I will say I really enjoyed 11. 12 was a little disappointing for me because first of all, I was no secret that I was not a fan of the Alex and Piper storyline, unless they're setting it up for a prediction that I have that I'll talk about later. And then the other thing was I was really disappointed in my girl Tasty.
Like,
I felt like that character decision was not like with who I know her to be. So I was a little frustrated with that.
Same, I agree.
Yeah, I had a lot of mixed emotions, especially after sort of the campiness and the over-the-top 9 and 10. That was like it was a lot more subdued. I loved 11, but then when we got to the penultimate episode of 12, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, sort of bored in a way, And some of it felt predictable. And again, with the relationship, we're on the same page of that. Where, you know, with Alex and Piper, it kind of felt a little bit, all right, I'm getting tired of this back and forth. And then we'll get into 12 and all that with their relationship. But
I think the reason I like 12 is because even though some parts of it were disappointing, at the very beginning when the whole riot started, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, this is going to end in a disaster. But then you start to believe, like, oh, my gosh, maybe something might happen. And when you see that it's probably not, and it's going to go back to what you initially thought of them just storming in. And it kind of, like, it brought us back. It's like the whole season really was a journey that we went through that. And now it's like, it sucks, but it is. That's how it's going to happen.
It brought it back, but I keep thinking, because I haven't watched the finale yet, and seeing that it's only 53 minutes, because I was at the same point where I was like, I want to watch it.
It was really hard not to.
But then to see that it was only 53 minutes, I thought, wow, how are they going to wrap everything up? Because there were a lot of things that were going on with a lot of different characters.
Yeah.
And then you saw sort of what you were leading into, of what was going to happen maybe in the next few minutes here of this finale, and you think, okay, well, how is all this going to end? And that's the only thing I was a little bit, like, 12, I felt like didn't go further than what it could have done. And I get we were sort of trying to get back to where we were, but it felt almost like a letdown from what I felt like the drama and the really, the craziness was really ramping up in 9 and 10, and then it was like, okay, let's pull way back.
Right.
And now how are they going to finish this up in 13? So that'll be interesting to see. But that was my overall thoughts of the two. It was great to learn a little bit more about everybody. I thought the interesting technique in 11 of sort of doing the present day, you know, sort of like those flashbacks where they weren't really, they were like present day of people's family members and other things out in the world was a really interesting use of that technique. And I kept thinking, oh, because for a while I was watching 11 and thinking, oh, they're not even going to go into any kind of flashback, which they have done that before in previous episodes, and previous seasons.
Right.
But this was a new kind of way of going about it, would bring their family members and what was happening in the real world at that exact moment. Was a cool tactic that they did.
There were some cool ones that I wasn't really expecting in 11, where, like, when Floritza's doing the YouTube video and you see Luigi's kid watching it and she's in the background.
That was
like,
so
those little things, I really, because you don't need the full storyline, but you get that you they're seeing this. Yeah, you get, that was, I didn't need any more.
That was brilliant, though, actually, the way they did that. Because just seeing her in the background and then him being able to watch that was a brilliant technique.
Right.
So I did enjoy that. And 11, in my opinion, was just more solid than 12 overall. So we'll see what happens, you know, for the actual finale. But, you know, as we discovered going into the breaking down bit by bit with episode 11, we, you know, discovered that the women are now figuring out about the bunker. They've got a few hours now until Piscatella wakes up from the devil's breath, whatever it was that.
They like, could not tie him up fast enough for me. I was like, "Are you guys like?" I know. She was like, "He's got a couple hours." Like, tie him up right now.
Yeah.
He's like a beast. You don't know.
Yeah.
And that's part of the thing too that I still, and I don't know if you felt you had better explanation, but I still don't feel like I have an explanation on why he's still so angry.
Yeah.
I still didn't.
I don't think we're going to get it, honestly.
I know, and that's the thing that's really upsetting to me, is that there's not enough time to go through that in the last episode, and I feel sort of let down with that, because it didn't feel like it felt relatable as to why he was that angry.
Right, yeah.
And why and we talked he about had that. Yes, yeah. But I was hoping to get some more answers in these episodes, and I still didn't feel like I got that.
I think it'll be a huge topic, probably, in next season. I mean, it's like we're asking for so much, and there's still so much that they have to tie up. So it's like,
that's why I wonder how they're going to tie every, or at least enough to be satisfying to kind of leave you hanging for, because we know they have a 6 and 7 at least. Right. I don't know how much longer can go beyond that, but we know there's 2 more seasons, so there's still a lot of bigger, you know, arcs that they can end up tying up in the next season or two. But still, there's a lot there, and we know we're not going to get all those answers. And in a lot of ways, I don't like things being tied up nicely.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like the happy ending all the time. I think it's more interesting when it's more realistic and it's not. But this felt like a big one, and it feels like something that should be answered now rather than waiting on where this kind of deep hatred came from and that kind of over-the-top villain that he became.
Well, I feel like they've sprinkled some of it. Like, you know, he's always wanted, like, to feel like he's powerful and in charge, and he couldn't. And I don't know. I was kind of okay with the fact that they didn't give him such a reason, because I mean, they make almost everyone else sympathetic at some point. It's like, well, maybe this guy is just a jerk, and maybe he just has anger and like trippy issues,
but, and he's just actually like off.
Well, that's what it is, and I don't necessarily want to feel that I have to feel sympathetic toward him. Mm-hmm. I just want to know what it is that makes him sort of behave this way, to where it makes sense to why he went that extreme against Red, and what where that kind of sense of revenge or bitterness or what it was. You know, domineering parent. I don't know, something else there.
He doesn't like to be made to look foolish. Like, that's a big trigger for him. Yeah. And maybe, I don't know, the fact that, you know, it's this inmate and it's this woman and she's getting the best of him. I don't know. It did seem kind of weird, but he's just, like you said, maybe he's just off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about this a little last week, just being disappointed with... So, they took the time to give us his backstory.
Right.
But that backstory didn't offer us much as to, like, exactly why... Yeah. Oh, okay, now I get why he's that way. Mm-hmm. But, and all we got, we didn't really get anything from him because he was passed out in 11. And then 12, we can, I'll just mention it really briefly, but when he does have that conversation with Red, mm-hmm. and he still is being that same way, like not taking her sip of beer or whatever mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. he was choking and that sort of stuff. So he's like not giving in still. Mm-hmm. And that's really all we got for him.
Yeah.
I think we'll learn more whenever he is punished or found or arrested or whatever he gets for when they find him.
I think that another reason why they probably didn't touch like more into it, by the way, Ashley Lyles in the chat says she gets his anger, but she didn't care, which is like exactly how we feel at this point. But I think it's like they gave us, I mean, we do have to be grateful for what they did give us. They gave us a Piscatella capture. They gave us like something to actually prove that he is the person that everyone has thought he is. So it's like, are they going to give us every single little thing that we want? No. Now, could they have cut out some of like the fish tattoo in episode 12 and covered more of that? Maybe. Yeah. But I guess, you know, whatever.
I think my favorite thing that's probably happened this season is Gina recording. When that happened, I was just like, thank you. Out of nowhere. Yes. She's a character I don't ever think about, really.
It took a while to reveal that, too.
I know. Like, she should have probably, like, came through with that, like, from the beginning of that conversation.
She's like a mouse. She's like, hey, look what I got in the huge.
Yeah, she's having a pretty integral part this season because she's the one that kind of saved the power, too. So she's had some important moments there. I love the fig and tasty negotiations that are going on. And, you know, the naming of the vaginas was really funny because it gave us a little lighthearted moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tasty with Duchess and fig with Tracy and the whole reasons behind that. And, you know, we're at the point now where they've been up all night with the negotiations. Mm-hmm. People are getting tired. And we're trying to figure out sort of what they're going to be able to get from fig. Like, how far are their demands going to be met?
And they get the health care.
They do get the health care for coffee, basically.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, I mean, the negotiations, we've been talking about it the whole season, obviously. It's like, I knew that they were only going to go so far, mm-hmm. and then something's either going to, like, trip it, and this is more episode 12, I know.
Right.
But I just wish, like, if it would have happened a little faster, it's like one more hour. Well, I don't know. Tasty was never going to. Was never going to give it up. So
no, of course not, because that was definitely the whole point for her.
Yeah.
You know, Gloria's out there. She's been working on, because her whole plan is to help get the, I call them the inmates now, but, you know, getting the guards out.
Yeah.
The hostages.
Yeah.
The hostages, because they're almost like now they're the new inmates. Get them released because of what she heard about how she could then get furloughed to go see her son in the ICU. And so she's trying a new tactic in 11 this time because she realized the other ones didn't work as well.
Well, yeah, you can't lead them out of there.
Right. So now she's like, okay, her next move is to really act like she's taking charge, putting the hostages in their place, making them feel like, I call them the guard gals, Ouija and what's the other girl's name?
I love those two, by the way. They like grew to be like one of my favorites of this season.
But them with the coffee, that was like,
that was crazy. And their noses kept
out. Oh my god, the snorting the coffee.
Oh my gosh, that was too much. And then 12, the reaction to it, I like.
Coffee grains scraping through the nose.
Oh yeah, I know. It seems to me like if you snort too much coffee, I feel like actually like you would die. Yeah. And that's what it starts to seem like.
I know. It feels like you'd have like a heart attack or something because you're just...
Well, the stuff she's throwing up is disgusting.
Oh, that was disgusting.
But the thing with Gloria is so weird because I feel so bad for her. But at the same time, I'm like still really angry that she's doing this. And I don't know who to root for. Because you have like Tasty with Fig in the negotiations. And they're like, oh, but then she can literally ruin it all with like this plan. But then... You know, she has this exchange with Maria about, like, you got to just look out for yourself. But it's like, well, I don't know. Yeah. It literally just really torn.
It's like, it's not like the scenario, but it's kind of like the scenario, like, save the one or save the many.
Yeah, right.
But I honestly go back, because I think of myself, okay, put yourself in that situation. You're a mom. You do anything you can to see your child. But then it's like, when you think about so would everyone else, and you're ruining these chances. I don't know. I literally go back and forth, and I think that's
exactly what the writers want us to feel. Yeah. And I still lean towards Team Gloria just because at the point that Benny's in the ICU and that he could die.
Right.
And at this point, she doesn't give a crap about anyone else. She's like, I got to get out there. I got to see my kid. He could die. I need to see him. So, it, like, trumps anything else. And at this point, it's beyond anything of, like, now caring for the other women. You saw a little bit earlier in some of the previous episodes where she was really trying to take both sides and know that she loved these women in there and she was, like, a mom figure to them. Mm-hmm. But when it's all said and done, yeah, it's going to be above anything else. So, to me, it felt very real and natural that she's going to do whatever she could.
I think the reason I still have an issue with this is because she's still, like, screwing all the other women over. So, like, for example, if they weren't in the middle of this riot and she had asked for Folo and they had denied it, that's it. You know what I mean? So, this opportunity she's getting to possibly see her son, it's still coming at, like, the expense of all the other women and maybe herself, too, because when she goes back, like, she might have been afforded all of these possible benefits that they would have gotten through negotiations. It's almost like she's being short-sighted.
She is, but she doesn't care. That's what I'm saying. And to me, it's realistic, and I would expect that someone who was in that position would do the same thing.
11 was interesting for me. I mean, we see like the theme of like motherhood, and obviously in a women's prison, and in this show, a lot, but especially in episode 11, because obviously Gloria with trying to get to her son, but then also like you see Oiji, she gives like the speech about what she's doing so that they can get a GED program and so that she can like see her son for more than 30 seconds, and so it's like for her family too, but in a different way. But then you also see her son see her on YouTube doing what she's doing, going crazy, and that's obviously he's not getting the benefits of what she's doing either.
And it also goes back to Tasty too, because it's that same sort of thing. Like, yes, we want you know, if we say death to be recognized and that there'd be some kind of changes and everything, but she can also derail the negotiations of the greater good for all the women because she's so fixated on that one thing, which again is very important. But what's going to help the women that are still in the prison the most? And if she's going to derail that entire opportunity for making those changes for the one thing, it's kind of the same thing with Gloria. So we're seeing a lot of these women make these difficult decisions, and they're kind of focused on one particular issue. But Tasty's doing the same thing in a lot of ways. And she's, you know, I think she's smart and driven and doing a lot of the right things, but she's also kind of short-sighted when she thinks about how she could be ruining everything else for the other women and the GED programs and the other things that they need to make the prison more livable and sustainable for them. So,
well, see, I think with Tasty, she's just, obviously she's being short-sighted with, you know, she's got to have that or else. But she, it's like you have to understand some things aren't. They can't just, like, magically do. But, of course, she's not thinking of that.
Right.
But she also isn't watching the television shows like other people are watching that are saying, oh, these things, eventually they just get to a point where people come in and, like, people die. You know, however many people died in all these other riots. And she's just thinking, like, no, this is number one. And that's, I know this is episode 12, but, like, when, oh my gosh, Warden, why can't I think of his name?
Caputo.
Yeah, oh, Caputo. Caputo. Whenever he's telling her, like, you have to think of this. Like, you did this in her name. She's like, no, no, absolutely not.
Right.
And it's just like, all of that stuff is for her. And, but, I mean, of course, that's all she can think of right now. But comparing it to the Gloria stuff, I just can't believe she was naive enough to tell, like, the one person who does whatever she can to do whatever she can for herself. Like, I just knew as soon as she told her, I'm like, this is gonna be trouble. I didn't think it was gonna be trouble in the sense of like she was gonna be mad.
Yeah.
I'm like something's gonna steal it. Happen.
Yeah.
What I think is ironic with Tasty, she's fighting so hard for Bailey to like get arrested or get charged, you know, for killing Poussey, but at the same time we see him and he's like struggling internally and he's like really trying to get himself in jail. He's trying to do something, like he's tortured right now. And she doesn't see that, and it's almost like, I don't know, they both want the same thing. They want him in jail, but what he's going through right now is torturing him more. I almost feel like if he was in jail, he would be more at peace.
He is
kind of paying with himself by having to deal with the guilt. I don't know. It's almost like they both don't see that, like, just him being in jail, like, for him, is like, oh, that means Poussey has been, you know, avenged or whatever, but... He's in his own prison right now as well.
Yeah. I mean, that was 12, right? Yeah. But I, since we're talking about, can I just say like one thing? I mean, I loved what her dad said to him. It's like, you're going to have to live with this for the rest of your life. I can't give you peace. You don't deserve peace. And it kind of just made me think, like, yes, they are trying to make us feel sympathetic for Bailey's character because he's obviously going through it right now.
He didn't mean
but
to
at
do
the
it.
Same time, like, in real life, the police can offer this stuff all the time, and it's always an accident. Of course it is. And of course it's going to be something that they live with, but they never get in trouble.
And
Tasty even named, like, real-life cases that are going on, and, like, that this show does an amazing job of doing that usually anyway. But, like, of course we feel bad for Bailey, but at the same time, it's not his fault. I mean, he took a life, but also... He shouldn't have been in that jail in the first place. He's not qualified. And so, and that's a very, like, that's a very serious problem that we actually have in this country. Yeah. So I got, when I was watching, I was like, I don't care that he's miserable.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, that I just got, like, really
happy that he's miserable. I'm like, I'm glad. I'm like, you should feel you bad. Should. Right. You should be torturing yourself because you did something awful. Yeah.
It's like, he needs to be punished, but so does the system. Like, so does NCC. So does the government or whatever. Yes, like, there needs to be actual change there.
So many layers.
That's why I always felt like I connected with what Tasty was doing. Because she was fighting not just for Poussey, but against police brutality and all of those things that happened.
Yeah. And whenever she says to Fig, whenever she's listing the examples, it's so true because, you know, just like you said, she doesn't know how Bailey's feeling or that it was actually an accident. Like, kind of no one really knows that except him, because obviously he didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
But it's so true in the sense of, like, all of these people and so many of them are on purpose. They don't get in trouble whatsoever. So what is it, you know, why should he be just not punished at all?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's true. Like, he wants to be punished. He wants to be in jail.
Right.
He's putting himself through this other stuff. But, like, I mean, really? I don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting the way they, first of all, I thought it was, kind of took a lot of balls, though, in a weird way for him to go to her dad's house to even. But her dad did bring a good point. It's like, well, what do you want from me? Do you want me to beat the crap out of you? Like, what is it that you want? So you did kind of take that flip side, and you're thinking, does he want to just be beaten? Does he want, like, some kind of thing, like, that he feels he deserves his punishment? So, and his dad wouldn't, or her dad wouldn't do that, which I thought was great. I was mixed on, you know, the part where it's like, oh, you have to live with this the rest of your life, because yes, it's true. But it's like, you're on that line of like, well, what is it that he's trying to get from this and seeing her dad? And, of course, her dad in real life, is in this real life situation, is not going to somehow be like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. I mean, maybe someone would. Like, you're forgiven or whatever. It was on accident. But, of course, you know, a parent that's grieving is not going to do that. So I thought it was really great and realistic. But I was also kind of felt like, ooh, it's also harsh. But then I'm like, yes, it's a good point. Like, what is it that Bailey wants? Like, what's going to make him feel better, and why should we feel that he deserves to feel better for what he did, and that he, like you were saying, Leslie, that he should just feel the pain, and that he did something that was terrible, and that he can't erase that, and it's something he's going to have to live with. There was a lot of mixed feelings with that in that scene, and it was very powerful, and I was kind of left trying to figure it out myself. And
he has, like, a childlike mentality in the sense of, like, think about, very immature. You do something bad, your parents get on to you, and then it's okay. And then eventually it's okay. But so do some of the other people in the prison. Like, it's, in certain ways, Tasty kind of does the same thing, too, because it's like, no matter what, it's my way or the highway, but you don't, like, eventually it comes to a point where, like, if you're not giving on something, not that she needs to give on something, but it's just, like, a natural life thing, then something, if you're not going to meet, something's going to happen from
it. Well, kind of like you... just like a child, though, he is being protected. Like, Caputo protected him. And it's this person who doesn't need that. Like, you're a grown man. You did something. And I think that's probably more especially frustrating for Tasty and as well as the other inmates because they're in jail for a crime. And they, most of them probably didn't commit murder. But they're in jail. They're paying for it. Right. Whereas, like, they're seeing this man who, you know, is a white man. And he seems like he was a pretty well, like, not well off, but, like, he seemed fine. He had a stable life.
Yeah.
And yet he committed this terrible thing and he's being protected from it. Like how
famous recently,
well yeah and I think
frustrating
that's
frustrating is that
and that's what
whereas
the
like
show,
no one's standing up
yeah
for
that's what
all.
I'm saying the show does a great job with that of sort of showing the different shades of people and how it's not just black and white, it's very gray. And that a lot of these people that are working on as the employees, as the CEOs, as the, you know, as Fig did, and other people that you see, oh yeah, they're really bad too. They just weren't caught, or they're protected by the system. Whereas these women, and you know, you see the women of color and everything else that have disadvantages that are not protected, and they've basically done less crimes than some of these people that are supposedly the ones that are in charge. And and so the show does bring great light to that, and it is a very important thing. And yes, like, why is he being protected? And there is that. But then you get that mixed feeling that they do a good job because he's this little naive kid in a way that you're like, oh, you kind of feel bad for him. And he's not being that, not like the Piscatella who's like, oh, yeah, you know, it happened and she deserved it or whatever the case is. And it was an, you know, accident or whatever. So you kind of feel that like, oh, that poor kid. Like, you do want to, you do feel bad in a weird, that's what I'm saying. I felt so conflicted because it's like, what does this kid want? What is going to make him feel better? And then you have the dad being so real about, like, I can't do that for you. And and also I was like, wow, I'm impressed they didn't beat the crap out of him. Because I think those emotions would have been so raw.
I'm like,
that
do
you
it
see
like
the
this
person.
Like,
right, that you see the person there that took the life of your child. And I don't know how you couldn't restrain yourself. So that was impressive to me, too. Yeah. Like, that he was able to maintain a level of overall calm. So it was a very interesting, very powerful scene that left me very mixed.
Ashley in the chats, right, the system let them all down. It and did. I think that's just like the moral of the past five seasons of the show. It's like, that's what it's showing. And and Tasty, I don't think she realizes that one of the negotiations is that the guards will be trained and they'll be qualified. And that's what killed Poussey. So like, this is, it's a much greater issue than just Bailey being punished. You know what I mean?
Seeing.
It's like, now
that's what
this,
not
this won't happen again to anyone else.
Exactly.
But I don't think that, I think she's just having a hard time like letting go of, she doesn't want people to forget about Poussey.
And it's her best friend. It's obviously, it's totally understandable what she's doing. And she's as outsiders can see it, but she's
And also,
there's still, it's still a high stress situation.
It is.
What are they eating?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Like,
I was thinking about that. I was like,
too.
They keep talking about how they're almost out of food. Though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But, and that's the thing that we keep forgetting is that really her death was only like 4 days ago in this big timeline.
Yeah.
So it's so fresh.
It's true.
That, like you said, Tasty's still in the middle of it all. And it's so crazy because we've had a whole many months to absorb it as the outsider and everything else and start this new season that has a lot of other things going on, even though it's in a compressed time period. But when you think about it, you're like, how is she so together when you think it was only 4 days ago?
Passion.
And how could her dad, when it was that recent, be that chill with Bailey? I mean, that was the thing that was like, wow.
I love they thought it was food delivery, though.
Yeah.
Whenever Bailey showed up, because that's what I would be like. He's like, where's the food? I'm like, okay.
But also with Tasty, she has such tunnel vision that she's not even taking care of, like, Suzanne, which is,
oh my gosh,
pretty much her responsibility.
That whole thing with Suzanne and taking the lithium.
Yeah, and so Cindy does that. And I loved this flashback again with Cindy's little sister, but also her daughter.
Yeah.
Sort that whole scene, because then it goes back to the singing and that whole thing. And how she was never really there for her daughter. She didn't even claim her as her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that scene of like what was going on was very interesting. Like what was going on now with her mom. Mom and
her mom said she was transferred. sister daughter.
She's like, really? What's this?
Yeah.
11, it was when they sang "Take Me Out to the Opera Ball Game."
Right at the end of it.
I feel like that was a really sweet little moment, and it was like a random song that I wouldn't expect. I don't know.
I thought that
was
Cindy to sing.
I just thought it was a really sad moment when Suzanne was like, "Well, these make me act better," or whatever she said at the end there.
That whole thing was sad.
Now she's like,
passed out because of the lithium, because it's so powerful. But you know, but then you have the flip side where Morello's so about anti-medicine now. I was like, oh, just tell yourself
and you're
great,
April. You're
and
right.
Buy a little bit of lipstick is all you need. That. You're all right.
She predicted.
But
that
did
she
we both say that, or was it just you? Because I couldn't remember if I said it too.
Camera,
I'm not.
So
I'm not trying to take credit for it.
I think
but
we. I'm sure we both.
I feel
it.
Like we're thinking. I think she could realistically be pregnant because they had that whole time period there. But,
I'm actually like really happy that she is.
Yeah.
That it's not. I mean, obviously she's had some, you know, but hypochondria before.
She's still a little crazy there. And then she took what, like 12 tests.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like,
I like
okay.
The way they revealed it because it was confusing to the audience as well. It's like, well, is she?
I know.
Not,
I did the same
like,
thing.
And that's going
that
what's
first
going,
one. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wait, is she? Are we seeing things? It was weird. Yeah.
And I really liked her moment that she had in Nikki. Sorry, we're like jumping around, or I'm jumping around a bunch. But in 12, when that you see that she takes the 12 tests, and which is. Did they do that on purpose?
I know, right?
and even she's like, see, I am really crazy. I'm even seeing things that aren't there. And Nikki's like, actually, this
you're
is
pregnant.
Real. You're definitely pregnant. You're not just crazy.
Yeah.
This
So, and then the speech that she has with Vinny, that Nikki has, that was really
such
sweet,
a good friend.
Of him, like, actually standing up. But then I'm like, why did it take that to, like, make you stand up and realize that it was happening? I mean, I guess he thought that she was lying before, but...
He probably thought she was lying.
He probably did, too, because of her
just like everyone
behavior,
else did. Nikki did the same thing.
You know, and the whole thing with the sister and
Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about that she was, like, trying to set him up to see if he would cheat on her, which was, well, that's pretty, like,
I feel like nobody in his life knows her, and Nikki was, like, a good, like, person to, like, kind of, like, be like, hey, you know what you, like, you got yourself into this situation. You signed up for it.
You know what you did,
You knew she was a little kooky.
Right. And she called him out on it.
Yeah.
She said you could have gone after any other woman outside.
Yeah. I love that.
You did that. You know, so you got to be responsible. It was a great...
She called him
really
out, and I feel like it snapped him back. Like, okay.
Well, we always talked about how he was the crazy one.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he's getting, but she thinks he's normal.
Yeah.
So.
He's a little crazy. I keep thinking there's more there to him, too, that we haven't figured
Maybe,
out
yet.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sure there's much more.
Yeah.
But it's so sad when she starts to talk about, like, this baby isn't going to know me because, I mean, she's going to have it in prison.
Yeah.
And I don't think she has that much left on
She said for, like, the first year the baby won't.
No.
So that's not that bad, but it's still just like a sad reality to think about, which of course, like, prison is no place for a baby, so got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just sad that it's happening
over
there.
Is.
I mean,
it's
we saw it with
Dianara.
Like, you don't, she's not there, and it's a little helpless feeling like, okay, well, let me have this baby and hand it over.
Yeah.
I know what's going on.
And also, wasn't she not supposed to be able to have sex with him, or was she? Weren't they just, like, letting them do that as, like, a
favor?
I
think so.
Because now won't they question how she got pregnant and, like, go back to the origin of that?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't
That'll be for season 6.
Yeah, right.
If anyone knows
when she starts showing. That'll be a whole other thing. It'll be, that'll be interesting. But I did love her, even though it was the anti-med crusade, her way of making people feel more confident.
Yeah.
Like, with Casey was there, then that changed really fast.
Yeah.
But that whole line was funny, and self, you're great. Just put on some lipstick, and everything's okay. I'm like, because that's what I say too. But, but it's a very fine line between, and again, it goes back to what's great about the show is again with taking mental health seriously, and that a lot of crimes and things are happening because people need to get mental health services, and not so much being in jail. And Suzanne clearly needs to be on proper medication, and it needs to be balanced. Even she knows that.
Yeah.
And that's what, I know we touched on it last week, but I'm so happy that she actually said, like, I need my medication.
Right.
Because mental illness is a real thing. And as much as everyone wants to be like, no, you would be fine without it, or, you know, there's rehabilitation, whatever, like, I thought it was a good point that they actually did that. And I know it's sad, but I almost liked that they had Sydney give her the lithium, because to me, it showed, like, how much people don't know whatsoever.
Yeah.
They just think, lithium is what they used to give people in like the 1800s.
Yeah, she said, like, all I know is it, like, calms the crazy or whatever it was that she was saying. And, I mean, at that point, Suzanne was, like, punching through the ceiling trying to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just...
She was so extreme about the death, and the death was too much for her to deal with, and being in a better place, and she was just kind of going... But it is. It's just as important as physical health. And it's easy to see when someone needs physical, well, some degree, where people are physically ill, have physical ailments. But it's a lot harder to see what exactly is going on mentally with people. And that's why it's so difficult to diagnose and it's so difficult for people to get this treatment. But it was great that they bring that up because it is just as important as physical health, and especially when somebody is in prison and needs that. And it was great that they brought that up because you've really seen her struggle this season.
In the chat, really quick, Kymalicious says, talking about Lorna, the two guards that live together that no longer work there and date let Morello
celebrate
their marriage. They're like married now.
Yeah, what is their names too? Yes, I know. I it's gonna be crazy. Thank you, because it's always
I knew someone like let them do it.
I knew someone did too. I knew it wasn't quite as organic as just like sure. And I just had to go back to the guard gals, you know, Ouija and Pidge. I was like, I knew it was something like Midge with the coffee snorting, and that was crazy.
That was too much.
Cindy finally tells Tasty about Homs and about that he's actually that he's dead. And at first Tasty's like, well, I have the chance to really change things, I don't want to know about this.
She's like, so you thought you'd just come in here and ruin
everything that we're working on,
because it does mess her up.
It does. And the whole thing, like, why can't you guys handle Suzanne on your own? And you
know, meanwhile, all stuff. The guards are being released in the back, and the plan is going to be foiled anyway.
Yikes. Exactly.
That situation's going to be weird because I forgot her name. Suzanne's girlfriend was the one who actually is the reason.
Marine.
He died, but I feel like that's never gonna, no one's gonna find out.
No one's ever gonna find out.
So, I don't know. It makes me worried for, like,
well, it's gonna be on Daya.
It's gonna fall on them, or it's gonna fall on the writers, like something. But I don't know. It's such a weird situation. I still hated that guy so much. I just found it so amusing that, like, throughout these all episodes, he's kind of like being dumped around like trash. Okay, let's stuff him in this closet. Okay, let's pull the chair out, or let's do this and that.
I was just thinking why I don't understand. So obviously, Maria is the one that releases the guards. Whenever they're like getting on to Gloria, like, why wouldn't she say it wasn't me?
She set it up. Mm-hmm. Well, when she yelled out, she was like, said it to the effect of she had to get to her son. Right. And they put two and two together that she put them all in the poo so that she could release them.
She isn't the one who ended up cutting the thing.
I don't think they care. I think she's a risk now.
Does she even know that it was Maria? Because I think
she figured that out real fast.
Yeah. But that's what I feel like, or she should have been like, I didn't do it.
I would think so, too.
I would think the first thing she would say is, I didn't do it.
Right.
Like, sure, she put them in the poo with the intent, but, like,
I feel like at that moment, she was just so devastated that option was off the table. Yeah,
and that her whole plan was sort of foiled.
She's not thinking about defending.
That's what I felt like, too, is that she was so devastated by that moment that it was like she couldn't deal with how to process that.
Because she was thinking, I'm not going
to
see my son.
This is my one plan, and now it's completely ruined, and what am I going to do now to escape and get out there?
But Maria didn't even know, like, what she was going to get from it. Like, she didn't know that Gloria was just, you know, potentially going to get furlough. So it's like when she walks up and she's talking to the governor's lady, she's like, no, but I'm going to get time off, or I'm going to be released, right? Or I'm going to get time off my sentence. And the lady's like, we didn't have any
It's because Gloria talked to an NCC guy, not the governor.
The governor's aide. It made me annoyed at her, because it's like, you're doing all this, and you're like,
There's no guarantee of anything.
You kind of don't have room to be demanding either. Like, oh, no, you guys better. It's like, well, no, you didn't actually talk to anyone. You don't really know what.
That was my whole thing.
I was just mad at her.
That was my whole thing of going back to her and with the whole lawn girls and all that. Because I was like, none of them know that they're going to be out of the picture here. I know you could say there's cameras and other things and other people will be caught, but nobody's really gonna know. And of course they came out of the rain this time,
and also
they got foiled with that light shower.
out of all this time, now you're gonna start trusting them, right? Exactly. NCC and like these guys that you're talking to outside of it, you're gonna just believe that. But I mean, desperate times call for desperate.
But it makes it more annoying because she doesn't even know for sure that this thing is solid, but she's so quick to like steal this plan from Gloria and screw everyone else over for like this very small, minuscule chance that they might give her something for it. It just, it felt very like half-thought and very disregarded.
Gloria wasn't even going to get time off her sentence. She was just going to potentially get furloughed. So it's like, wouldn't you get more information than that?
Yeah. Well, she couldn't give it away that she's going to steal the plan.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
Right.
True.
But,
It's really hard. It's really reckless. For sure.
For all that they've done and all that they've gone through. But it's, it, it kind of goes back to them all being in their own little groups. Like, they essentially have no idea all of the stuff. They know what Tacy's doing, but they don't know how the conversations are going. Only Cindy and whoever else does.
Yeah.
Like, and then you have the people in the bunker that literally have no idea what's going on. Right. So it's like, so, how would she even know that they were so close?
So then by her taking credit for releasing the guard, she's totally screwed Tacy, because at that point they think Tacy has released them, which is for the negotiation.
Right. And that's what they thought originally was happening. And that's what Jennifer brings up in the chat room about that. She thinks
I was secretly hoping she would still, like, when she realized maybe I'm not gonna get what I want, I don't know, she could have still saved it somehow.
They still have Piscatella and
Luzchek.
Luzchek. So I'm like, no one even knows.
Could that still be leverage?
Yeah, well, they do now because of the video.
Oh,
but no one's mentioning that. Like, the, I don't know her name, but the, you know, the cop lady, the governor lady.
The governor's aide,
Nita. She's like, we have the hostages, they're freed. And I'm like, no one's, like, standing up and being like, there's still two,
two people because
I think
there.
They
guards.
Probably didn't realize either. They just, I think she
assumed.
Well,
how did they not realize that Luzchek wasn't there? They've been with him the whole time.
Well, I know, I just think that.
Where is Coates?
Because they're just, that, I know, well, that's the thing, too. I'm like, well, I was thinking about that, too. I was like, when are we going to get the resolution on that? Is that going to happen?
Because then Pensatetsky was in his house.
In his house. So
taking
that was,
a nap.
Ugh.
Eating cereal.
Like, wearing his clothes. That was so weird.
And, like, comforting under his clothes. I'm like, no.
All I could, I'm like, those sheets just looked so dirty.
They did.
The only thing I like about that, her being there, is that now that it's getting stormed, she's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
I hope.
I feel like something has to happen. I kept watching. I was like, why are we spending so much time with her in this house? Like, this is going to happen.
What is she
going
to do?
Somewhere.
What is she going to do to, like, what's going to happen with her? And
I just went back to the baby mice.
I hate that scene. I hate that scene too.
Sorry.
That was gross.
April.
But I know we don't have too much.
Don't bring that up ever again.
We don't have that house, and that's all I thought.
We don't have too much time, though, but I did want to talk about a little bit on the Boo and Linda relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, they had their little spa in the shower, and Boo starts realizing, oh, like, she's lost, because she talked about being from Connecticut, but she mentions Utica, and then she sees the picture of her with Caputo on her cell phone, so she's like, oh. So then it was, like, 2 and 2 dawn, and she realized, now she thinks she's a mole, and she's in there to be able to report back on everything, so that's when everything changes in their relationship, which I also kind of felt a little bad for Linda for a split second, because she was genuinely, I think, really into Boo and was in that world.
You
and I think,
think?
I do.
I don't feel bad for Linda.
I did for
bad
no,
for
I,
her,
I did
but
for a split second, and then it came back to me. I'm like, oh yeah, she's bad. You know.
I mean, she had Boo, like, brushing her hair and stuff all even after Boo already knew.
But Boo, I mean, she likes.
But Boo likes
it.
Doing that because she loves that.
But it was after she knew about Caputo.
Yeah.
And she was like, just be gentle.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like it says a lot about her. She loves being pampered and taken care of. Like,
there's
all this riot going
Boo.
On.
Yeah.
And like, oh, let me close off this private bathroom and give you a spa. It's like, she's so, I don't know, it's almost very selfish, like oblivious of everything else.
Yeah.
And
of course.
She's just very self-centered.
Yeah, she's I mean, she's so self-centered.
Of course she
That's
is.
Why she does all, made all of the terrible decisions that she did before.
Of course.
But it's like, I was actually glad that Boo ended up giving her the chance to explain, even though she just thought it was all BS.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and then she got, like, everything thrown
I love when she did that in the cafeteria. She was like, she's from purchasing. She's supposed to purchase stuff for us.
And she doesn't.
And she doesn't. And she really called her out, and that was great.
And
I keep thinking this Boo.
Throwing
they did on her.
I thought they were going to kill her for a second,
a little
though.
Bit.
Yeah, I did too. I was like,
but now
oh,
Boo's
that's what I felt
her,
bad for a split second.
Her $5,000.
Oh my god, that was hilarious, though.
All I could think was, like, think bigger, Boo.
Yeah. I know, he had that moment, but at the time, but I also wanted to, like, email that address, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, the email address, and be like, hmm. But that was funny. I keep thinking about Boo, I'm like, oh, she's, like, setting herself up to be a real politician here, because, you know, she's wearing the jacket from the previous episode, so, like, is she going to get out of prison and now run for office? I mean,
when they were blaming her on all of the crappy stuff they got, they, like, said one thing and she was like, oh, I didn't buy that. I don't know. That was just in the middle of
getting the boots, the 10-pound boots. She was like, oh, that's not in my department.
Everything else,
it's not in my department.
Everything
that was
else,
hilarious.
Yeah, that was my fault. But not
so
the boots.
Not that one thing.
That was funny.
Yeah. And, of course, the big thing about episode 12, though, is we get the flashback with Piper with the fish tattoo on her neck and the whole destiny of the fish stuff. And we start seeing
the
whole relationship.
I know.
You didn't do any, like, snoring.
Yeah, just like,
So, like, are they trying to, I feel like the show's really trying to sell them as, like, they're this couple who really love each other. But
they're
it's like,
destined to be together.
Okay.
I was putting a bow on that because they see how, like, not bothered, but like it's an old storyline at this point. Never have I ever in a show's history, like, you know, every show carries stuff on. Think of like Ross and Rachel. I never got tired of that. But this is like, I'm genuinely tired of it. So I think they realize that. So they're just trying to be like,
wrap it up.
Bloop.
But the thing is, with the flashbacks for them, I mean, I didn't know, I didn't need to know the love is pain and the fish stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and also the Kool-Aid thing tattoo. Like, did we need to bring Larry back
in for that?
I didn't like seeing Larry.
I mean, I love Jason Biggs, so all was fine. But,
yeah, it was good.
But the thing is I feel like overall, based on their flashbacks, I didn't learn anything new about them. Like, we know all that stuff. We know that Alex turned her in when her mom died or whatever. Yeah. We know that they were in all this, like, drug stuff together. Like, I got it. Yeah. I'd much rather see if Gloria's son lived. Right. Or, like, if, you know what I mean? Like, if, like, these other storylines that are seem more serious.
Yeah.
I did like, I will say, the conversation between Piper and her mom.
Yeah.
That was kind of a nice moment because they have never had a relationship like that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that her mom was just so forthcoming with that information and she wasn't being snooty or whatever.
And her mom was there.
And that she was there.
That she was there.
I did like that.
I did like that.
And I guess the cream corn bean thing was fine.
Well, I think like
it just felt so contrived, that whole thing with the fit. It just felt so like
they're really trying to sell them.
It
did,
but it felt cheesy. It didn't. Again, it was one of those things where I thought, you guys are trying too hard, and the whole, it's sappy with the fish and the destiny, and it just wasn't buying it. And like you said, Sterling, we already knew all this stuff, and it just didn't feel like, it felt like a sort of a waste of, like you said, like more information we could have gotten on some of these other storylines because we only have one episode left to wrap everything up.
Yeah.
And it felt, again, too easy. Like, let's tie it up now as they've gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And now, oh, okay, now she's going to just propose in front of everyone at the prison.
Yeah.
And,
I think it was their way of being like, because they couldn't just have her propose. It's like their way of reminding us they've gone through this, they've gone through this, they've gone through this.
I agree.
And so
we
would prefer them to be together rather than not
go back and forth
again. I guess it's true because it would continue to be a thing no matter what.
I
like, if they weren't together, it would always be a thing. So I think that whole explanation was leading up to the conversation between Piper and her mom, which was the one part of that whole thing that I liked too. Yeah. And I really liked when her mom, she's like, you're here? She's like, well, when your daughter's in prison, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I honestly, I think that that's why they did that. Just to
just wrap it up.
We don't even have to talk about it anymore.
Right. No, and I get it, but it just, really?
Yeah.
Do we
have to think about it. Maybe we'll never have to say that again.
Except they'll
probably be like a prison wedding.
Or they'll end up getting in some fight, or they'll find something else, and then the engagement will be off. And
can I tell you what my prediction is?
What?
Which might be a little crazy.
What?
Is that one of them or both of them dies when the thing stormed.
Yeah.
I
thought you were going to say one of them's going to be pregnant.
Because it's like, this happy, they're about to get married, and all this stuff, happy. And then it's like, they die.
I honestly think something similar like that is going to happen too, just because that would, like, we've been talking about how their characters have been a little lackluster in comparison to the rest, that's originally why they started.
And we need
it's the
something
only way to like
break,
boost them back up again.
To kind of change that whole, will they, won't they,
but
will they, won't they.
It wasn't Laura Prepon or not even supposed to be on this season?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. If anyone was going to die, it would probably be her.
But then
she already has
the
broken arm.
But then we're
going to
have the whole storyline about Piper, like, avenging her death. Oh, God. I can't look forward to that.
That's what's going to be all of season 6. And then her and Tasty are going to be on the revenge wagon together.
If that doesn't happen, I feel like the loose end with Alex is that guy, the guard she killed. I feel like they keep bringing it up, and I feel like someone mentioned it recently, like, that's not going to disappear.
Well, because in the negotiations, they did the thing.
Well, and now there's a viral video of her out being alive
with
Piscatella, so, like, that's circulating around. Then whoever it is could find out that she's alive and then she's killed.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're one of the guards that storm the thing and then they find her.
That's a good one.
Okay, I can't even give a prediction now because that one's really good. Because now nothing's going to equal
Somebody is definitely going to die.
Somebody, and that's what I was going to say.
It's not Tasty.
I know.
No, I hope not either. But I don't think so.
It's probably going to be that girl that's like right at the door.
It's going to be someone we don't even know their name.
I know. Yeah. Like, okay. Because I was going to ask quickly what your thought was on 13 because we saw at the very end before it fades to orange and we see that they're getting ready to storm.
Yeah.
That was so sad with Tacey being like, no.
No, I know, so I just need a couple more seconds. And that's why I thought, I'm like, there's so many stories going to wrap up. And I kept thinking about the baby, even going back to the baby with Daya and being with Pornstash's mom and what's going to happen. Because we kept thinking, are we going to see Bennett? But now
we're not
apparent now, maybe, because it's now 13, unless he's one of the...
I heard that we were, but then, like, well, how are they going to... Daya hasn't even been in the last episode. I know.
But that's what I was thinking, is that somehow we were because they brought the baby back in, which they sort of brought that in, or they're saving that for six now, for season six. Mm-hmm. There's just so many stories. What's going to happen with Gloria, with her son and the ICU, and then, you know, Fig. I just keep thinking there's not enough time.
Yeah.
There's 53 minutes.
I don't think we'll get all of...
No.
I don't even think the Piscatella riot will be completely wrapped up. There's,
Right.
riot stuff, there's like, too much to wrap up.
What's going to happen with Piscatella? And we already know that that video's been leaked. And it's just there's so much...
Well,
so,
then I don't think they're going to clean up everything. Like, some things are going to stay in the air.
And that's a good thing, because we do have six, and we do have seven that we know for sure. Mm-hmm. So they can give themselves a little freedom to let that go a little bit and leave us hanging until next season. But one episode left.
I'm going to watch it tonight. I can't wait. I think I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, I'm just so curious.
Well, we will be back next week for the very, for the finale already. I can't believe
it's crazy.
It's very crazy that we're already through season five. Episode 13, this time next week. Until then, where can they find y'all?
Y'all can find me everywhere at April Withenhand.
You can find me at Leslita Face, Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Sterling Cates.
And I'm at SMan80. That's SMan80. And thank you to everyone in the chat for interacting with us today.
Thank you.
Helping us out, because there's a lot of things that happen and you're trying to remember. We appreciate it. We appreciate you guys so much. Follow along social media, hashtag OITNBABTV. And we will be back next week for the finale. Season 5, Orange and New Black. Woo!
I can't believe it.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.